This is Fenton Dunn, and you're very welcome. No corporate candy floss news, no political spin. Truth Radio by Internet. Here, the expression is still free. You're on the inside track from breakfornews.com. It's Thursday, the 7th of October at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you're very welcome to the inside track on breakfornews.com. First, a word about our sponsor, neemwell.com, your personal source for potent Indian neem. Check that out, N-E-E-M-W-E-L-L. It's an Indian herb. And maybe the reason you haven't heard about it is because it undercuts a lot of pharmaceutical products and does an actual job. Check it out, neemwell.com. And this is Fenton Dunn reporting. And I've got Dan Hopsicker joining us on the line tonight from what's left of Florida. And he's got quite a story to tell. You can catch that story on his website, cowprod.com. That's MADCOWPROD. And what he's talking about is counterintelligence operations running inside the 9/11 movement. He's got an explanation, he says, as to why we're not getting to the truth on 9/11. And he's got some amazing information up there on the website. You can follow along by going to the website. We'll be discussing some of the material that Dan has put up. And I've been talking off air with Dan, and we've been having a bit of fun. And it is always great to talk to Dan because his information is really terrific, and also he's got a great sense of humour. And thanks very much, Dan, for joining us. And it's great to have fun. I'm going to have a Guinness with you sometime, and we really have fun.
Having fun is half the battle.
Maybe I'll come to Dublin.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't come over there.
I didn't know that.
I wouldn't risk coming through customs, frankly.
Well, you know, my buddy Matthias Bruckers won't either.
Yep.
And of all the people I've met in this 9/11 dodge so far,
yeah,
he's you know, he and you were the brightest, and he won't come here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the feeling very well. We're telling it as it is, the real deal. So that makes us dangerous, seditious.
Yeah, I'm always dangerous as white boys get.
But hey, we can have fun because they have it so well locked down. And listen, boys, if you're listening, congratulations to a certain extent, but I mean, I could do that with the amount of money you guys have. They've got us totally boxed in because they control the internet. So we get to tell our bit of truth. Will we ever do it to a mass audience? Don't know.
Well, the prospects don't appear bright. Let's put it that way, okay?
Yeah, they don't.
I mean, that has been, for me, the biggest disillusionment. Okay?
Yeah.
5 years ago when I wrote Barry and the Boys, when I was done with the book, it had such shocking stuff in it, I thought, hey, I'm rich. I can think about where to buy my vacation house. And, you know, I could not find... I mean, there had been four major bestsellers written about the guy I wrote about, Barry Seals, before I did. None of them had anything. And here I've got the hot skinny on them, you know, with documents and stuff, and, you know, Jesus, you know. Needless to say, I didn't get rich.
Needless to say, you're still waiting for the movie deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, one of the things I like, and we have to have a sense of humor, I really like just to fucking enjoy ourselves here tonight. But one of the things I really like about your material is not only is it great investigative journalism, but it's so goddamn funny. And I've seen you've been criticized for that. But hold on, let me just read a little from one of your latest articles, Dan. It's towards the conclusion, and it's a very serious subject, but you're talking about Heaven's Gate and the fact that mass cult suicides apparently don't raise eyebrows anymore or questions of possible brainwashing or mental programming. Wow, you wrote, we were shocked. Shocked! So we decided to commit journalism. What the hell? We figured we could always raise bail. We come now to the defining episode, apparently, in John Gray's life. He describes it often in interviews, in seminars, and in his infomercials. It concerns the death of his father, you wrote. And when we first heard that story, it sounded too weird to be true. So we checked it out. Guess what? It is too weird to be true.
Well,
I love your writing style. I mean,
thank you, but it's a long tradition. I mean, the only power we have is to point out the emperor's new clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are powerless to affect policy. We're even when we have intelligent arguments. So the only thing we can do is poke fun. And I think it's always been this way, hasn't it? I mean,
yeah, I suppose you're right. To a certain extent, there has been.
That's what makes real writers subversive. A tone of constant outrage it wears on you very quickly, doesn't it?
It's not where you want your head to be at. Well, there's a lot of dramatis personae or personae in the articles that you wrote. You're talking about a lot of individuals who currently have a high profile in the 9/11 truth movement, and I'll try and not laugh when I say 9/11 truth from now on, but it's just so funny. But one of those, of course, is John Gray, who is the son of an oil executive. And hey, you can't hold that against somebody necessarily. I mean, Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com, maybe little known fact, is also the son of an oil executive. But you cover a whole cast of characters, Catherine Austin Fitz. Let's start off, like, anywhere. Just elaborate a little, if you wouldn't mind, on some of the personnel who are in there.
It's Orwellian, mm-hmm. or Orwellian, I guess. Wrong is right, war is peace, and the 9/11 truth movement, you know, really wants to get to the bottom of things. They held a press conference on the 3rd, and what's especially, it's almost sacrilegious, okay, because it's not like it's the we're talking about 3,000 people hanging out of windows, okay? So, to commemorate the 3rd anniversary,
mm-hmm.
you had a press conference chaired by a former Bush official, Catherine Austin Fitz, featuring an ex-LA cop, Mike Rupert, and funded by a guy who, and we'll see this as a persistent theme,
mm-hmm.
Believes in the great God from the Sirius, the Dog Star.
Let me stop you there for a second, because I was wondering to myself if this guy Gray, maybe he's one of those gray aliens, Dan. That could be what it is. Maybe these people are aliens.
there are reptoid, you know, tendencies running through the story. You know, so I mean, you look at these people. See, I realize this. First of all, when you are as outside mainstream as I am, you tend to look at things different. So when I went to speak at my first CIA drugs conference,
mm-hmm.
I was looking around at my fellow speakers and saying, which among these people would, like, you know, I go to war with? And there were damn few.
Let's just cover one person you raised in the first of those articles, and that's Fred Burks, who's attached to September11th.org, spelled out in alphabetically, September11th.org. I mean, he's telling the truth all about 9/11. The only thing is he's got some interesting background, you reported.
Yeah. Fred's a sweetheart, isn't he? I began receiving what is basically spam about 9/11 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I discovered I was getting regular emails from this guy named Fred. And he sent me this one especially impassioned email urging me to, like, run out and buy the new Pearl Harbor, a book by a professor of divinity in California who couldn't know less about 9/11. So I'm getting these emails, and I'm not just from him, but from other people, that I need to go buy this book by this professor of divinity. And I'm going, has there been some groundswell that I've missed, you know, saying that professors of divinity are underused resources in homicide investigations?
Yeah. It's The New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin, and he's a theology professor. But I tell you, Fred is still at it. Of course, Fred has got a relationship, as you reported, with President George W. Bush, which does put his rantings about 9/11 in some kind of a context.
He's worked for both of them, hasn't he?
I'm afraid
father
so.
Father and son. And, yeah. And I, you know, I found out other things about him that I didn't put in the story because, I mean, I had enough fun at his expense. He was over in Indonesia on a contract translating for training for the Indonesian police. And I wonder if Professor Peter Dale Scott knows that. Peter Dale Scott is recommended on one, you know, is one of his experts, Fred's experts, on one of his sites. And he's an Indonesian expert, and I wonder if he knows that this guy is over there translating while we train the repressive forces, you know, that Professor Peter Dale Scott's concerned about.
Yeah, right. It's slightly ironic. And yeah, I don't want to dump too much on Fred, because for all I know, he might just be a bit misguided. But it's symptomatic of the questions that have to be raised. And the next character who has to be questioned, and I already have, and you certainly have, is Mike Rupert. And the whole idea that Mike Rupert pushes is that we're running out of oil, and hey, that's possibly the underlying motivation why this crazy Bush crew is over there in Iraq, is to get hold of the last few remaining drops of oil before we totally run out. And he explained all that in the Commonwealth Club recently at a meeting, which isn't exactly a venue for outsiders. They'd never invited me. They'd ever invite you, Dan?
No, I've never been to the Commonwealth Club.
Gee, I wonder why. But you're an outsider, and Mike Rupert, hey, he's an outsider too, and he's campaigning for the truth about 9/11. Except, is he really?
Well, did you know Rupert, like, in the whole year of 1999, life as we know it was going to end with with the millennium, okay? Y2K was the end of it. So here's a guy who's been wrong, but here, more importantly, here's what I say to her. Even if everything you say and Rupert says is true, none of it's relevant to the homicide investigation. And here's a simple example that'll explain why. I said, say you and I are standing on a sidewalk on Ventura Boulevard in L.A. when an out-of-control car careens down the street at a high rate of speed before jumping the curb and plowing into us, fatally injuring us both, while from the curb, a witness watches the whole thing. When the police arrive and ask the witness to describe what happened, what you and I expect him to say from our perch in heaven or somewhere close by goes something like this. I saw a yellow gremlin with a bleach blonde midget at the wheel slugging on a bottle of bourbon and cackling like a maniac as he slammed into these two poor dead fucks on the sidewalk before heading west with the big, wet, brown splotch on the gremlin's yellow hood.
Yeah, pretty precise.
Now, what Rupert would say, if he was the witness, would be something like, what's happened is that the insupportable increase in vehicular traffic has far exceeded the ability of our highway infrastructure to keep up, rendering conditions unsafe for everyone. Right?
Yeah, I think you're about right.
It's nonsense. Yeah. It's nonsense. I mean, on his website, I mean, he promotes these scummy pyramid marketers that steal money from people. Okay? I mean, I've gotten emails since that first story from two or three people. Oh, I spent 16. I mean, this is not a small ticket item. This is not I spent, you know, $99 to go to a weekend seminar. This is I spent $1,600 on the course materials before I realized it was bogus.
Yeah, this is the
This is the scam organization, an offshore organization. God knows who controls it, right? And Rupert's regularly going down to the Caribbean, speaking at their weekend seminars, which cost like, you know, I mean, they're $10,000. So
let's take another aspect of what he's talking about all the time, banging on about it relentlessly, the peak oil issue. Does he not realize that this is nothing more than oil company propaganda? It's transparently oil company propaganda that it's
right,
not true.
Right. Well, look. Let me step on your toes here a little bit too, maybe, because it's not just him.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Rupert and peak oil is one thing, but you know, see the flash, see the pod, see the see the missile. It's all the same thing, my friend. What you saw was no plane in the Pentagon. What you saw was WTT, one of the World Trade Center towers coming down all by itself. And there has been what you saw was remote controlled planes.
Mm-hmm.
What you saw was there were no passengers on the planes; they were taken out and dumped offshore. All of this is disinformation.
And let me.
I knew, Fenton. Let me finish. I knew that there was no I paid no attention to it because I had my job here. That all of the stuff about a missile in the Pentagon was utterly fucking bogus. You know how I knew that?
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the news 45 minutes after the Pentagon explosion and saw several credible witnesses say, "Yeah, the plane came right overhead."
Yeah.
And I saw those people, and if those people were not telling the truth, then we should all quit now because they were better than any Hollywood actor you could ever find.
Okay, well, let me come back on that,
okay.
Because you're not stepping on my toes. Is number one. There's two points.
I never know.
Yeah, okay.
Toes I'm stepping on.
All right. There's two points I'd like to come back on. First one is, I'm not in a position where I can just write my own material. I have done that in the past, 7 days after the event, but I'm running a radio show, so I'm representing all the shades of opinion that are out there, and
right.
I'm giving people an opportunity to tell their story. So,
which is why I just, you know, explain to you how I look at the whole thing
yeah.
at this point.
So that's one aspect of it. So, yeah, I've covered all of the stories about the 9/11 issue that are out there, including the pod and including the Pentagon and all those issues. And my job there is to allow people to come across and articulate clearly where they're coming from.
Well,
and I've done that.
See, now that's and what you just touched, that's the next big story, okay? Because, you know, Rupert's a nobody, okay? I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, there's 40 of these guys. There's a guy out there right now, well-funded.
Mm-hmm.
I received 2 spam emails from him yesterday totaling over a megabyte in my email box. His funding comes from something called the Genesis Communications Network.
Hit me with it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Dave, well, you know, I don't even know his name.
Dave von Kleist.
I know he's a jerk-off and he's an asshole. I assume I can say anything I want because it's internet radio. I did his show once, and he was totally uninterested in Muhammad Atta or in any of his associates. Brought everything around, you know, back to this panic. I don't know why I did it. But now come to find out, Adnan Khashoggi and John Gray and a man suing me, Michael Roy Fugler, put together a bunch of companies going back as far as 91 called Genesis This, Genesis That, Genesis Media, Genesis Intermedia. They had 40 or 50 corporate shells. And the end result is today I find there's 2 Genesis networks out there,
mm-hmm.
and one airs all of this bogus stuff. And the other one, which is tied to the first in a way I can't find out, but I guarantee you they are, because I mean these people, they're not like you and me, okay? They will incorporate Genesis Media, for instance, in both in California and in Tampa, and there's they own both of them, but there's no way of telling that they're the same company. So one of this Genesis Communications Network that I'm about to write about, is where all of this Pentagon horseshit is coming from currently, and the other one, which I'm sure is the same one, but I can't find a link, is in, of all places, Tallahassee, Florida, and it's run by Jeb Bush's former chief advisor and his buddy, who was a lieutenant colonel at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama, the same time Atta went to International Officers School there in 1998.
Okay.
So, how about them apples?
Okay, just hold that thought, Dan. We'll take a music break. You're on the Inside Track. I'm with Daniel Hopsiker, and we'll be right back.
Not a little confused.
And you're very welcome back to the Inside Track on breakfornews.com. I've taken a look at some of the material that's out there, and I've reviewed it to see is it outright total fraud. If it's outright total fraud, I wouldn't even air it. In other words, if, let's say, the pod pictures are manufactured, and if you go to the original network footage, the stuff isn't there, then I wouldn't touch it. And the way I've looked at it is this. Either this material indicates what they're saying, or else it's totally false. And if it's totally false, it shows you that counterintelligence are currently heavily active in the 9/11 area. So my attitude is, yeah, bring it on. Put out your in plain sight video, put out your pod information, and if it's true, great. And if it's not true, it amounts to the same thing, which is 9/11 isn't what you think. Because either it was the way you're calling it,
right.
Or
right.
Else, if all this stuff that you're that is now heavily in the public domain, I mean, do they think people are stupid? Maybe they are. But surely people are going to look back and say, yeah, remember all that pod stuff and the in plain sight stuff and the Pentagon stuff? That really shows you there was something going on with 9/11 when you can see all that kind of covert stuff going on. Or alternatively, they've been proved right. But either way, it's a win-win. I don't mind. Put it all out there.
See, yeah. Here's where I disagree. Every month that we go beyond 9/11 is the chances of there ever being an honest investigation and the responsible brought to justice diminish, because these people do not have to keep the truth from coming out. They only have to keep the truth from coming out in time to make a difference. Okay?
Sort of the same tactic that was followed with the Kennedy thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's textbook.
Yeah.
It's textbook. They've already won. They have put over on the American people and the world the fact that there has been no investigation into 9/11 in my country to which the American people are privy. The 9/11 Commission represents to a real investigation what books like the New Pearl Harbor and Rupert's represent to real books.
Mm-hmm.
They're just there to take up space.
Oh, it's fiction. It's total work of fiction. In fact, a large part of it is fictional interviews with Al-Qaeda members.
But,
you know.
But how can you... I mean, somebody should be getting Academy Awards for this.
Yeah, you bet.
This is an event witnessed around the world. We all saw people die. 3 years later, there's been no investigation. There was a congressional investigation whose results... are largely blanked out. There's been this 9/11 commission that was only charged with looking at how to prevent it again. And yet, because it was called the 9/11 commission, people thought, well, they're getting to the bottom of that.
No, that's a total farce. I mean, one of the problems we have is that so many people are asleep, and that's because they watch too much TV. And they're just dumbed out. They're dumbed out even worse than they were back in the days of Kennedy. You know, so we do have a problem there. But before continuing on this discussion we're having, because I would like to continue it on, just throw a little light on the issue of the Heaven's Gate connection to all of this, because I think it's illuminating too.
I'll tell you some things that are already printed on my site. mm-hmm. and maybe a couple things that are coming out soon. What we're going to find out is that the disinformation we're seeing currently is not the first time they've done a campaign called See the Flash. Three guys show up on Art Bell's wacky all-night UFO program.
That's right.
One of them is an amateur astronomer from Houston, and he's taking a picture that shows a spaceship trailing behind Hale Bopp. We all remember that, right?
Right.
Well, it was a doctored photo. One of the other people he was with, who was supposed to be a professor from Emory University, was obviously crazy, because that's on a statement he made a year ago that if the space people haven't landed by Christmas, we're doomed. And the third person sitting in on that Art Bell interview was a woman who today runs a company, if you can believe this, that employs over two dozen remote viewers, mm-hmm. and has received, according to her, since September 11th, funds from the FBI to help track down terrorists.
Terrific. Yeah, I got
so
some.
So 6 months before the Heaven's Gate mass suicide, mm-hmm. these people injected Hale Bopp into our consciousness. Then it turns out, and this is the big link, nobody paid attention at the time, it was 97. Mm-hmm. The 39 people lived in a mansion owned by an Iranian named Sam, last name I can't say.
Kustafani.
Kustafani, right?
Yeah.
Good. You're European. You know how to do that stuff.
Sam Kustafani. I'm probably getting it wrong, but it's close.
Right.
Yeah.
And at the same time that he was convicted in 2001 of running a ring, a network used to infiltrate Middle Eastern men into the U.S. Mm-hmm. He made $250,000, or more than $500,000 doing it. Infiltrated over 150 Middle Eastern men, and at the same time he was doing this, he owned the mansion where these people killed themselves.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't look like coincidence to me. That looks like, you know, an ex-SAVAK member, a retainer of the Shah, who goes into exile in California because if you work for us, we bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, starts carrying out odd jobs.
Yeah, useful guy to have around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doing things we can't do here in the U.S. because we're not allowed to. So when we want to train hundreds of air pilots in Southwest Florida, for reasons unknown, we bring in a couple of Dutch boys. When we want to infiltrate Middle Eastern men into the U.S., we'll use a former SAVAK agent.
Mm-hmm. Now, the John Gray connection to all that.
John Gray. What's the connection you've already read in the story? What have I already told you about Gray's connections to it?
Well, Gray's connection will be that the Saudi professor Abdullah Sheikh and Sam Kustafani were confidential informants for the FBI's San Diego office. And, of course, Gray attended a university.
Right, okay. Mm. This bogus university, which I will expose in the next story I do, is an amazing intelligence operation. And so both Gray and this Saudi professor, who Senator Bob Graham says, you know, is proof of Saudi Arabian government involvement in 9/11, both got their PhDs from this same bogus place. Now, are there thousands and thousands of people that have bought PhDs there? I don't think so, because there are other connections too. The amateur astronomer who took the picture of Hale Bopp is a contemporary of John Gray's. They're both from Houston. They're both the same age.
Mm-hmm.
John Gray's mother knew Marshall Applewhite,
of
the
Heaven's
cult
Gate.
Leader.
Yeah, the cult leader, Heaven's Gate cult leader. Yeah.
That looked like my favorite Martian. And John Gray knew him too. And has never, and the interesting thing is he's never admitted he did. Gray, in his official biographies, was a freshman at the University of St. Thomas in Houston, a school that's got maybe 200 students. The same year that Marshall Applewhite was being fired for rubbing his male students the wrong way.
Yeah.
If you look at John Gray, and Marshall Applewhite, remember, was a chorale instructor, ran the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
John Gray looks like he could be in the Glee Club to me. After having his homosexual affair with a male student revealed, a humiliated Marshall Applewhite. This is 1970, remember? Okay. This is probably why gay people have traditionally been blackmailed. I mean, because they can be.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall Applewhite goes into a psychiatric hospital in Houston for mental reprogramming. He says to repress his homosexuality. There he meets Nurse Betty, who becomes his faithful companion for the rest of his life. He adopts her wacky science fiction Christianity, and they go off on their merry way. And when these 39 people kill themselves, nobody says, what was going on back at that hospital?
Mm-hmm. Because it's obviously a mind-up.
Pardon me?
Because it was clearly a mind-up. Was going down.
There's no other way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at that story about John Gray and his father in the story I've got on the website now, it's hard not to think of him as being part of the same group. The other important thing to remember about John Gray is that without Adnan, he was nobody. Nobody knows this except me and now you and your listeners. Everybody knows who John Gray is, right? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
Mm-hmm.
That whole franchise. When the book came out in 1992, it was a flop. 10 months later, when it was a candidate for the remainder bin, and every writer out there knows what that feels like,
mm-hmm.
Adnan Khashoggi stepped in with this new company, his Genesis Media, and turned that book into the biggest seller of all time.
Mm-hmm. Which just shows you how far you can go with trash, you know. Yeah, let me come back in on that before we leave the Heaven's Gate issue, because I've got just some background. I'm afraid I'm going to have to break this to a lot of people, and it's going to hit some people really hard. There are no aliens. The whole goddamn alien thing from start to finish is an up. It's an up designed to plug into the religion hole in people's brains, because old-fashioned religion has gone out, and now Jesus is an alien who came from a distant planet, and the greys are coming. But I'm afraid the greys, the pinks, the greens, the blues, the dark blues, the whites, and all the other colours, it's all complete and total bullshit. And operations like Coast to Coast have been used to ventilate this. Civilizations on Mars, aliens are coming tomorrow, the crop circles are hoax, the whole thing is an up from start to finish. So if you've got something that connects into this Heaven's Gate stuff...
You're so much smarter than I am, because you sound like you've known this for a long time. So
a
I
long
you
time.
Probably have. I mean, I don't think about UFOs. But if I did, I never thought of them. I never thought of Art Bell, or you know, I never thought of them as being, you know, a way to insert whatever.
Well, yeah, people need, you know, they want to believe in something transcendent. So
right.
I mean, this was the way that it was plugged into people's brains, was that salvation was going to come from the aliens. And the whole UFO aliens thing has been the biggest waste of time, but it's also been a great way of recruiting vulnerable people into cult structures where you can milk them for all the money they got, and
right.
You can also use them in ops. That's what Heaven's Gate was all about. It was
well, and,
an op.
And the real question is, what were those people doing for the 20 years before?
You're on the Inside Track on BreakForNews.com. I'm with Daniel Hopsicker, and we'll be right back.
And millions have died from starvation.
And you're very welcome back to the Inside Track on BreakForNews.com.
You know, Nurse Betty, who said, look into my eyes, and Marshall Applewhite, my favorite Martian, surfaced again in 1974 when they get busted in Harlingen, Texas, which is on the border. You know, 20-some years later, they kill themselves, and the question is, what were they doing in between? They were making somebody money.
Mm-hmm.
In a way I don't understand yet. Running drugs, maybe? Money laundering? I don't know. Slave labor? Who knows? They were making somebody money because that whole thing didn't happen by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Not with an Iranian agent providing the safe house while at the same time infiltrating Middle Eastern men into the U.S. That places it, I believe, into the proper context, doesn't it?
It places it into a very 9/11 context, yeah. But the fact that you're connecting these people back into Heaven's Gate-type operations, I mean, that just shows you where all this is coming from.
And John Gray, surprisingly, is the connecting link, because he's tied into both ends. He's tied into the Genesis disinformation effort, paid for by, led by Adnan Khashoggi and friends of Barry Seal, and he's also linked to the cult end of it.
Yeah, yeah. If these people were just plain ordinary, you know...
And his dad was CIA.
Yeah, if these people were just plain ordinary arms dealers and drug dealers, it wouldn't be so bad. But they're tied into, you know, PSYOP material, you know, heavy, heavy, heavy PSYOP material. And they're making a bundle out of that, while at the same time spinning everybody the biggest load of tripe that's ever been ventilated on any kind of communications
sure.
medium.
And it makes sense, okay? If you put me in charge of the cover-up, because I stopped at, you know, what if I was Karl Rove? He was a brilliant guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in charge of the cover-up. Well, I mean, we have the mainstream handled. You know, nobody's going to come out and say we've been lying. Nobody's going to come out and say Muhammad Atta snorted coke, so mm-hmm. what kind of Islamic fundamentalist was he?
Yeah.
The next thing you've got to do is gain control of you know, the alternative media, but you don't want your own hands in it. You don't want checks being cut in Langley, Virginia,
mm-hmm.
so you bring in your old buddy Adnan.
The old cutout.
Cutout, that's the word, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a whole cutout scene. I mean, it's a big cutout scene. But, hey, that isn't news to some people out there. You know, I know there are a lot of people who have bought into all that bullshit, frankly, but there are people out there slightly smarter. A lot of them write blogs on the internet. A lot of them do their own research. And hey, this is I'm sure some of them are going to be jumping up and down right now listening to this saying, yeah, give it to them, because we're giving it to them. I'm sick of this fucking shit, Dan. It's total bullshit. Rents.com, all this, and including what really happened. Give me a break. The Israelis did it. I mean, I've 2 years now I'm listening to this. And, of course, it's just a mere coincidence that Michael Rivero's dad was in the oil business as well. But that is a coincidence. And so it goes on and on and on and on.
They're around this 9/11 truth movement.
Like flies on shite, they're around 9/11.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And there are a number of what I'm going to call in the next story, intel legacies. So the only thing you can do is mock these people, right? I mean, these are the half-bright sons and daughters of people who did something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, Kyle Hentz is a... I asked him. I saw Kyle Hentz in Washington, D.C. He had me come up, shocked me, and speak at the National Press Club during the last week of the hearings. I guess he couldn't get Rupert that week. You know, that must have been it. And at the National Press Club, I couldn't believe it. They had obviously tons of money renting, you know, the National Press Club. They mm-hmm. had plasma TV screens that cost $600 a piece per day all over the room, and there were only two journalists there. And somebody, took me aside and said that there's, you know, these people have no credibility. The families will have nothing to do with them. And this is our Citizens Committee, you know, Kyle Hentz. And so I said, Kyle, yeah, a nice enough guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all are. Kyle, how did you get involved in this? What were you doing on 9/11? And Kyle was crewing a boat. Kyle is a yachtsman. Kyle is the great yachtsman. And his friend, Catherine Austin Fitz, from Washington, D.C., who I know things about that I won't say because it's not that important, and Mike Rupert, ex-L.A. cop, who went to work in 1972 for Ed Davis, chief of L.A. police, who was Mr. COINTELPRO back then.
Mm-hmm.
And all these other the people with the Urantia cult, you know, John Gray from Transcendental Meditation, and I've got an amazingly funny story about. I mean, see, there are a lot of infomercial hucksters like Gray who, curiously enough, live in Fairfield, Iowa, home of the Maharishi's Vedic University.
Mm-hmm.
John Gray himself, I believe, was the first transcendental meditator said to have been able to fly. Remember when they were bouncing around on their hands and knees? Okay, that was John Gray.
And of course the Maharishi, you know, we don't even have time to go into all that, but the Maharishi wasn't a simple peasant.
And Adnan Khashoggi, his whole family is whacked out. Adnan himself, along with Imelda Marcos, was a devotee of some dead Swami now. And his daughter belongs to Scientology, to the Church of Scientology.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of people. Religion is big. It's big in people's psychology. But all the time I have this image that way in the background there are these people to whom the only God is money and power. And they are just laughing their asses off, silly, that people are buying this bullshit because they're orchestrating the rollout of all of this New Age rubbish.
Well, here's how we can tell. Because we've been attacked here in the U.S., the FBI has managed, you know, to rouse itself from its lethargy and trace the money. And there are cells all over this country, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Islamic charitable organizations, religious institutions. Okay, so these people are using religion to fund covert operations, and I ask myself, where do you think they learned that? I mean, you know. You think they made it up by themselves? And then you look at Pat Robertson. See, a lot of these pilots down here in Southwest Florida that were training these Arabs to fly,
mm-hmm.
Also flew Mercy missions.
Oh, Mercy missions. Gosh, the old humanitarian assistance is a great angle.
Once a month down to Haiti and back, okay? I mean, they were taking medical supplies and stuff for missionaries down. God knows what they were bringing back.
Medical supplies.
Yeah, of another sort.
Yeah.
So, we have been doing the same thing. And apparently, what we're seeing with John Gray here is we're seeing... Intel penetration, you've probably known about it, Intel penetration of quasi-religious movements, the New Age movement. This guy, this Bush's buddy, Fred, all on about the professor of divinity, has a half a dozen websites talking about peace and love and understanding, don't you know? And all those things are good, aren't they? I mean,
well,
I'm in favor of them.
It's the new wave, Dan. I don't know why you're fighting this. After all, the Moonies own a fucking national newspaper in the USA and practically run South Korea through the Unitarian Church. I mean, it's the new way. And look at Bush's support base in the conservative right. They've been heavily psyoped and massaged into their current sad psychological state. That's why I have some understanding and can laugh about it a bit, is I realize how deeply people have been manipulated, calculatedly manipulated, not just briefly,
but
over years,
right.
Concerted campaigns to undermine their
they have taken advantage of people's better instincts at every opportunity, right? I mean, you just said religion is all about, our desire to transcend, and in 14,000 different ways, they've made money off of it.
Yeah, and hey, the Catholic Church did it, but that was a couple of millennia ago now, so it's an old game, nothing new there. You can build all sorts of power structures out of that, intrinsic need to transcend, and practically, basically fear as well. People are afraid and they want certainty, and so they get suckered into these, which you wouldn't mind. But it's the fact that all this is linked into these kind of people who are running these intel ops through into these religious structures and then using them as cover for stuff like 9/11.
And here's the thing. It's almost as if they don't mind if you find out, okay?
Yeah.
Because almost three years after my book Barry and the Boys came out, I got sued by Michael Roy Fugler, who had been Barry Seal's attorney, for things I wrote about him in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I write things about you that aren't true, okay, you're going to reach for the phone, okay? I am, right? This son of a gun says that I was, what? If he actually had a beef with me, or even felt he did, he'd have sued me 2 years ago. So I get sued just as Welcome to Terrorland's coming out. There's been a whole COINTELPRO against Welcome to Terrorland, which I haven't even talked about yet, but I'm going to have to. I'm going to.
Yeah.
So I get sued by Michael Roy Fugler, and then his business partner, John Gray, shows up funding, who's in business with both he and Adnan Khashoggi, shows up funding the 9/11 truth movement. Now, that's pretty sloppy tradecraft, isn't it?
Yep. Well, it's so sloppy because, as you say, it doesn't matter.
They don't care. Yeah, right.
One of the aspects...
And that's the truth. I once asked my friend, he's 75 now, right? He doesn't sleep with the 45 under his pillow anymore. Asked him how come I was able to trace this stuff so easily. All you got to do is look up plane records to see who owns the plane when you're tracking, money flows in the drug business. How come I was able to find this stuff out so easily? He said because they don't bother to hide it.
Yeah, and one of the aspects of that is that the market is so segmented. The mainstream media market exists in its own right, and you never crack through that. Never. You're never going to crack through that. And then there's the internet market, which exists in its own right, and the markets are so segmented that they actually run operations which are exclusively aimed at the internet, that will never make the mainstream, and exclusively aimed at the mainstream that will never show up on the internet either, because nobody cares. I mean,
well,
it's beautifully segmented for them.
And that's probably where they've been most active in the past few years, because they have owned our press, for a good dozen years now, God knows, maybe more. But so they have, no fears on that aspect. And so the only thing that, has any potential and has, worked is the internet as a new medium. And so they are now out there getting control of it.
Now, I mean, they've owned it from the beginning. I think this operation ran, it was concurrent with the development of the internet, was the how are we going to handle the internet stuff? And the answer was, we will drown it in so much bullshit with an unlimited budget that nobody will be able to figure out which is the real stuff and which is the fake stuff. So it doesn't matter. And to a degree, that's true. You and I will discuss this. We'll put it up on our websites, but it's not going to get linked from the high traffic websites. They already control the what you call intersection points on the internet. They've already got full control of all of those points. So therefore, you're almost like just any other blog out there on the internet. And there's, 500 million of those right now.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we break through? How do we break through? And that's why, they don't have to worry. Because, hey, who's going to hear about it? Unless they across my power prod.
I've already taken steps, okay? And we'll be taking more. To learn that these supposed 9/11 truth people are being funded in the way they haven't, and then to look at the companies offering them assistance, which all, in one way or another, spam you, and then realizing I've been getting what is basically spam from these people for years, several years, since 9/11, spam works. Spam works. I mean, that's why it's out there.
Sure.
So in order to be heard over that, I'm going to have to adopt, if not the same campaign approach, then something that allows a real message to get out. Because I'm not going to fold my tent and go away just because there's 150 9/11 sites getting money from George Soros, and I'm not.
Yeah, I take your point on that. I do think we are constrained in this way, that because of the fact that we will be forever locked out of, as you say, the 150 9/11 sites that they're running, it means that the spread of our information will be organic, as with the raising of consciousness overall, of people smartening up all around us. And they are smartening up. But we'll move with that smartening up process, so we'll be part of a natural process of social change. We will not create revolutionary change, I don't think, with the information we're broadcasting, because we simply haven't got the resources to get it out, except organically, as it grows and as more and more people go, hey, Madcap Rod, have you seen that website? Hey, Break for News. Wow, you want to read the stuff they have there. But it'll be word-of-mouth stuff.
Well, right? Exactly. Yeah. In other words, at the very least, we need to network, or people that find themselves, you know, need to network the way they have.
Yes, yeah.
So are you telling me there aren't any aliens? Because what you're doing is you're blowing my grand theory of everything here, okay? When you start, anywhere you step into this, you find people stealing money $100 million at a time, okay? I mean, and it adds up. I'm just on this story. The current company that they that they're talking about, Adnan Khashoggi and his buddies, stole a couple $100 million.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I found out the partner, Rudy Dekkers and Wally Hilliard's partner in their bogus airline, out in Washington State. At the same time, he partnered with them, was participating in the $350 million looting of pension funds in Portland, Oregon, which barely made the newspapers there. So
yeah,
I've always wondered, what do they need all the money for, okay? Mm-hmm. And so my big theory of everything is that the reptoids have told them that anyone that comes up with $1 trillion gets immortality. I mean, there can be no explanation for greed on that level.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're on the Inside Track on breakfornews.com, and I'm with Daniel Hopsicker, and we're having fun. Join us in a moment.
Playing my mind.
Let me just change tack now slightly. It's into a mainstream area, but also illuminates what we're talking about. And I'd like to discuss a report that came out by a Shell Oil executive, actually it was, who said that if this high price of oil thing keeps up, it's going to be very bad for oil because it's going to make people look at alternative energy. Now, the point I'd make about that is, why would an oil guy go to the trouble of shooting himself in the foot? What the hell is going on here? Answer, what he's doing is he's normalizing the whole idea of $50 a barrel oil. And in fact, they're already talking about $70 a barrel oil once they've normalized us with 50. So this is a slowly toasting process that's going on. Now, who else pulled perhaps a similar stunt? Well, none other than Shell Oil themselves. Shell Oil got into deep trouble for overstating their reserves. And the stock people were in on them, the stock regulators were in on them on that issue, because, hey, that's given a false picture to investors and could affect the share price.
So now they need $70 oil in order to recoup?
Yeah, they do. And plus, okay, it was slightly embarrassing for Shell, but look at all the upside. They really convinced a lot of people that we're running out of oil. So this is how it's been played at that level, where Shell will take that kind of a hit on the overstated reserve scandal, in inverted commas, whereas the underlying motivation is yet another part of the big project on right now to convince you that there's not enough oil around, and that's why you're getting screwed on the price of the gas station.
Let me tell you what an intel agent told me, which kind of agrees with what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy I was trying to get to when I was writing Burying the Boys, because I knew he knew things, because without going into the story, I absolutely knew he had. I found a letter in Barry Seal's files from his attorney, Richard Benveniste, who was on the 9/11 commission, and in the letter, the attorney is pleading for the return of his two briefcases filled with documents that Barry has taken from his office.
Mm-hmm.
Barry was blackmailing his own attorney. He was threatening to turn him in. And just as I was finding this is like 4 years ago, I'm researching Burying the Boys, I read in a book by Rodney Stitch, God bless him, an interview with this intel agent saying the same thing, that Barry had tried to roll on his own attorney, turning his own attorney, Richard Benveniste, in exchange for like not going to jail,
mm-hmm.
an unusual thing to do. So I knew this intel agent, you know, was there, knew stuff. And what he told me in a phone conversation a few months ago was that the September 11th attack was designed to wrest back control of the economy to the military and energy sector from the high tech sector. See, we've become a high tech society,
mm-hmm.
And high tech has drove growth during the Clinton years,
mm-hmm.
and to the point where the tech portion of industry was threatening to eclipse and actually have more power and take over from the military energy complex,
mm-hmm.
and that 9/11 was a strike to reassert the supremacy of the military economy and the energy economy,
mm-hmm.
for whatever that's worth, and it certainly seems to have played out that way.
Well, if you take a look at what's gone on, who's made and who is making a bundle out of all this? It goes back as far as the so-called oil crisis and the creation of OPEC back in the 70s, in the last century.
But
people making a bundle, and the military-industrial complex are making a bundle.
Right, but I will not go to the place of saying we attacked ourselves, because that line of thinking, I believe, is designed to cloak who attacked us and why a cloak needs to be placed over those people is because our elite has deals with them that make them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think George Bush didn't know about 9/11. Arabs tried to kill George Bush the morning of 9/11. He's certainly his actions since would in and of themselves lends you to think that we were responsible for it because of the turn to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But I may be naive, but I do think there are two groups contending out there. And I think what they were most immediately contending over was maybe not a pipeline through Afghanistan, but maybe control of the heroin trade,
mm-hmm.
which appears that the CIA determined a half century ago was control of the heroin worldwide narcotics trade was essential to American national security, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, that's another big business on the planet. Besides oil, is drugs, huge business on the planet. But we can argue on that issue. We can debate that issue, I hope, rather than argue as to where we
right,
go from here with the good information
right, well,
we
I
have.
Have to, yeah. Ultimately, we don't know yet, okay? I mean, and the way we will find out is the same way Watergate unraveled. It starts from the bottom up. You get a foot soldier to roll on his boss, and then his boss rolls on his boss, and his boss rolls on his boss. And then eventually, you know, on the best of all possible worlds, you would find someone that said, yeah, I placed a call to Osama bin Laden and said I was putting $10 billion in his Geneva account. You know, please just let loose some of his crazies on us, okay?
Yeah, well, we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. If there was a credible investigatory agency interested in getting it out. But in the absence of that agency, I think the only thing you can do is do what I have a desire to do. I can't not do it, which is to just get a bit of truth out there, which I think motivates you
right,
as well.
See,
just get some truth out there.
What I want to put out there is that until we're in a position to send the top 300 people in the FBI and 300 Saudis to Guantanamo, that's how we'll find out.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If we can't do that, I mean, we got to track it, and right now it leads to Saudis, my friend. If we get a Saudi who says, yeah, but George Bush wanted me to do it,
mm-hmm.
well, then we've got another story, don't we?
Yeah, but I agree with you. Right now, the channel runs through Saudi Arabia. The question is, who's pulling the strings?
Ultimately.
Yeah.
But even that doesn't really matter. Well, I mean, it does ultimately matter. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt Muhammad Atta's presence in the U.S. was because he was part of a protected drug operation. But he hated us. I mean, imagine the fervor, which could be because of brainwashing, of 19 people willing to give their lives for anything.
Well, if there were 19, I mean, we know that it's possibly only 11 that we can actually say people are missing. There's another 8 of them still walking around there and saying, what 9/11? Hey, I'm still here, dude. I wasn't on any plane. You know, so, but there certainly are a number of missing individuals. Yeah.
Hey, they were Arab hijackers. That's an unfortunate fact for anyone, you know, that finds racial profiling offensive. There it is. I find it offensive to have to take off my shoes and see little old ladies pat-checked when 19 Arab hijackers committed an atrocity.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a farce in the context of I did an interview with Diane Kleiman, U.S. Customs agent, who says that the security back in JFK on the ramps is so bad that you could smuggle an elephant onto one of those planes and nobody would even notice. You know, so it is a joke what's going on now. Because the security of the U.S. is wide open to that kind of attack right now,
and
as we speak.
And all of these 9/11 people, this is what they protect. You mentioned Saudis, and they go bananas. You know, mm-hmm. you just want to invade Saudi Arabia next, and then you probably want to go to Iran. Okay, well, I want to go wherever it leads to bring justice for those poor dead fucks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my job. That's all I care about. I'm, you know, global politics, new world order. I don't care, my friend. You know, means nothing to me. But people, I mean, hurt us in the soul, and we have not brought to. We have not. I mean, amazingly, imagine how powerless it is to see to realize you're a citizen of the most powerful nation on the planet, and 3,000 of your citizens, mostly your citizens, can be murdered with impunity by people with enough money to buy access and influence.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, that's the aspect of it that motivates me. I have to laugh, I have to have fun, because otherwise you go crazy. And I have to keep trying to tell whatever truth I can. But the overall context is that unless we can work somehow the motivation and political will to try and get to the bottom of this stuff, we're kidding ourselves, because those were real people. Whatever about the pod, there were real people died on that day. Thousands of them died callously, as far as I'm concerned, murdered.
Yeah. And I talked to a guy, I don't know if you follow my stuff that closely, but I discovered that Adnan Khashoggi was behind a proposed casino in the Bahamas on a remote island whose chief characteristic is it had a landing field long enough to land twin-engine planes.
Mm-hmm.
And that Wally Hilliard, the owner of the flight school, was his Learjet was flying over there once a week in support of Khashoggi's operation. So I tracked down a guy who was on the other side of the equation, because there's apparently a drug war going on this tiny atoll in the Bahamas over control of this landing strip. And this guy, Hans, very well-spoken, extremely rich, said to me, think of it this way. The world has never seen a transfer of wealth from one country to another, anything like, or one society, anything like what's happened in the past 30 years from the Western world to Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of that money has gone back into Goldman Sachs and a lot of other places in Wall Street.
No
directly
doubt.
Reinvested, yeah.
No doubt. But, you know, I mean, it's a given that that's happened. He was just calling attention to it, right? So the question is, are we so powerful that we can't be attacked? I mean, why? You know, if the Saudis have more money than God, why wouldn't they want to be top dogs now? Why wouldn't they cut a deal with, like, you know, I have a friend that thinks this is all Fourth Reich business.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows she may be right. She's extremely bright. I mean, there are groupings vying for power, are there not?
Oh, there are indeed. And fascism, money, and power go hand in hand. You know, so all of that is in the mix right now. Another aspect, let me just add, is that's in the mix, besides the 3,000 people who died on 9/11, is all the people who died in Iraq subsequently. And not only that, is that what these people have done is they've said, you know, let's get into the drugs business because we're going to dumb down the poor schmucks in the USA. They'll be so doped out they won't be able to create a decent society, and hey, that's great for us, and we'll be able to shove all the niggers in jail as well, you know, we're racist. So,
see, and here with this story that I'm on right now, we see the people who are responsible for America's crap culture, okay? And when you see the next story, this extends right into the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because they're heavily using that as well for social manipulation.
I've always figured that the mob must have taken over the networks, you know, because it's all entertainment tonight over here. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. and it's a steady diet.
Yeah, and it's a concerted campaign. It is your worst nightmare come true. At least with the mob, they would come around and threaten you or shoot you. But these guys have got all of that evil, grasping nature allied to some of the most sophisticated social psychological control you've ever seen. Multi-billion dollar social psychological control, including the, you know, Spielberg's movies, which set the whole scene for the E.T. scenario and the UFO scenario. I mean, this is mass social programming that these guys have got their hands on. Besides,
well,
I'll
tell you something that made me laugh, and maybe it'll make you laugh. Maybe it'd be a good place to stop. I don't know. I was bitching and moaning to a friend of mine, same friend I've referenced a couple times, about how Welcome to Terrorland was filled with amazing stuff, and rather than selling books, you know, by the gross or by the pound, you know, I mean, it's like one at a time. And, you know, bemoaning the fact, I mean, any writer would say this, you know, that, you know, I'm unrecognized, right? And he kind of laughed, and then he looked at me and said, well, he said, you know, look at it this way. At least they let you live. So to you guys out there that let me live, you know, I want to say a big hi.
Yeah, as well, you know, it's not really a problem. People have said to me, are you going to get yourself shot? I said, will you give me a break? If I get to be a real problem, then they're going to have to shove another 0.000001% on the tax rate simply to drown me out with bullshit, you know. So let's get real here.
Yeah, we exaggerate, you know, our threat. I mean, I would like to think I'm slightly dangerous to somebody, but, you know, sadly, that's not the case.
No, you just, hey, everybody's got to make a living, and so, you know, it's going to be plenty of people making a living, making sure that nobody pays too much attention to Dan Hopsicker or Fintan Dunn on Break for News. And that's okay, too. But for those of you who are interested in a bit of truth, I've really enjoyed kicking around some of the aspects of the 9/11 issue with you, Dan, because at least we're not dealing with the bullshit stuff, and we might actually get somewhere. Where that is, God only knows.
Hey, I'm going to find out what happened, or die trying, you know. This is not brain surgery either. Okay? It's not.
Mm-hmm.
If I had resources, not modest resources, and could track down one of those seven German associates of Mohammed Atta and through hook or crook get them to talk, we'd find that stuff, my friend.
Yeah.
It's not that far away, you know, that oh my God, we'll never get it, you know. No, man. Bring one of those people in.
Yeah.
And he'll talk. And he'll probably take you to the people that brought Mohammed Atta to Germany in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then won't we have fun?
Yeah. Well, we must kick around the whole, you know, you tend to go in the drugs direction. I agree with the drugs direction is a big direction to go in. I'm also looking in the oil direction because maybe after all, it isn't just such a total coincidence that Mike Rupert's tying the issue of oil and 9/11 together. Maybe they do tie together in a lot of ways as well. But that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, well, and that just could be opportunistic. I mean, he's got to say something, okay? He's been sitting in Los Angeles. I mean, he's a 9/11 armchair adventurer. So he had to pull on something.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's have that discussion soon.
Over a Guinness. Is it getting dark early there in Ireland these days?
Oh, it is, actually, yeah. Although I know it comes down slow here, you see, because we're more north than you are in what's left of Florida. How's Florida doing, by the way? What's left of it?
The hurricane season was truly a nightmare for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You don't even want to know. But nightly on the news, on the local news, you would see, you know, little old ladies, you know, whose husbands died years ago, right? Sitting in their mobile homes with the roofs torn off.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't had air conditioning for like 2 weeks. You know, it's wicked hot. And you're looking at them going, oh, poor lady, you know.
Yeah, I just hope it was all an act of God and wasn't somebody's cute idea
of
spirit.
No, it was weather manipulation, don't you think?
Of course
don't
it was.
Don't you think they were just trying to keep Florida voters from, like, focusing on the presidential election?
Of course it was, yeah. Which just shows you the lengths to which these people will go, because they don't really give a shit. You know, to them it's politics. To me and you, I think it's people.
What kind of a cold, evil person sends a hurricane? See, you know why they don't have to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because they own the companies that provide the machines that count the votes. Okay? I mean, these are compassionate conservatives.
Hey, there's more and more.
We have to realize it could be worse.
It could yet be worse as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably going to be a bit worse before it gets better. Anyway,
Thanks for joining us tonight, Dan.
My pleasure, Fenton.
And that's just about it for tonight. As I said earlier, don't forget to go to Dan's site. That's madcowprod.com, madcowprod.com. It's a great site, and he's got some amazing information there. I hope that we've brought you a little fun, a little truth, a little sanity here tonight. And I look forward to having Dan on the show again. He's a great 9/11 researcher and writer. Anyhow, that's it for tonight. I'll be back tomorrow with another edition of The Inside Track. And I do hope you can take the time to join me then. Meanwhile, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fenton Dunn reporting. Thanks for being there.